online at 1037thebuzz.com.
Why are you doing this to me? Am I not living up to what I'm supposed to
do? Little Nine Inch Nails. Welcome back. In the zone, Justin Akre, Nate Olson of Sync Weekly. Matty T holding down the Fury Electric Studio, as he will be doing for as long as the world is round, as far as I'm concerned. Matty, if you leave, I'm leaving. We're team. We're tandem. We're
Sounds
like
good.
Siamese twins, except we're not connected.
Batman and Robin.
Yes, or...
Don't say Lady and the Tramp, please.
I was thinking more Hall & Oates, but
okay.
Still, that's fine.
Because I was going to nudge that meatball over to you with my nose.
Well, look... I'm started on one end of the spaghetti, and the other end's not going to eat itself now, is it? It's disgusting. You know what's not disgusting, though? Jim's Razorback Pizza, and I'm actually starving right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's get some over here.
Hey, Mike, you know, we're over at D1, pretty close to the Highway 10 location. I'm just saying. If you want to, pop over with a pizza, we'd probably eat it. Nate?
Yeah, I guarantee we would, yes.
Okay, Nate speaks for me when he says that he would eat pizza if you brought it by. Today is Thursday. It's a great day to go by for lunch or for dinner, and they are open 7 days a week at three locations. Right past Taylor Loop on Highway 10, right down from where we are here at D1. The Morgan Mom Melegs that are on Central Avenue at the Temperance Hill Square in Hot Springs. And if you like hot wings, they do have a spectacular set of wings that you can get over there. They have that Monday night special, 2-3 for a buck.
Mm.
Oh, buddy. Hey,
well, I love wings.
Oh, yeah. If you're whacking wings on a budget, my friend, that's an opportunity for you to take advantage. And the Hog Wild Baked Sandwich is fantastic. Ham, pastrami, Reuben. They got a meatball sub that is outstanding at Jim's Razorback Pizza. Three locations. Go by and get you some. And a lot of times have live music out at Morgan Mommel and in Hot Springs as well. So lots of fun. We'd like to take the family into the Highway 10 location and let them go nuts.
Very good.
They got a little game room for the kids to turn it loose, and then Mom and I can have a little talk.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Let's go to Tracy in the Spa City, speaking of Hot Springs. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Justin, you're up on most of the stuff and behind the scenes a little bit. What's with the deal about the Miles On thing? Why did we not ever get any kind of interview for him or whatever? Do you think Long already had... you know, Bill in the bag, or you know, what was it? You think that was already a done deal or something? I mean, and for him being a first year coach and not, I mean, yeah, we're sitting here on three while they're sitting there and doubled our wins, and it's also his first year.
Right. Well,
so come on.
I mean, here's the deal. Okay.
All right, dude.
You want to hang up and listen, or you want to hang on?
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to you. You got a pretty good game. So anyway, you're doing a good job. Stay with it. Later.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. A few different schools of thought on this deal. First of all, there are two schools of thought on why he didn't come to Arkansas. One would be that he didn't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Two would be that there was political pressure for Arkansas to not even consider pursuing him because he was at Arkansas State at the time. I think there's probably some sort of blend there, although there's also some of me that thinks the Arkansas job would be appealing to him. It is it's a home state job. There is something to be said for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was ever going to happen in this particular situation. If he was at any other school in the country outside of the state of Arkansas, I think there would have been definite effort to get him.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, everybody understands that has followed SEC football the last couple of years that Auburn has much more talent on campus right now, and that he recruited a lot of that campus. So kudos to him.
Yep.
Some of the guys that are there now were recruited by Malzahn when he was there previously under Chizik. So
yeah,
you have to give him credit for that. And he just inherited a little better situation. Now he is achieving at a much better rate from a win standpoint than I think most people expected. And by that I mean anybody, except for him.
Yeah, you know, there's a comfort level there with him. You mentioned that he recruited a lot of those guys. The office, the city, everything, there was no transition there. I mean, he'd been there and done that. It was an offensive coordinator, but, you know, you talk about Brett Bielema, new place, new program, new players. Gus, I think there a part of him wanted to be the coach at Arkansas. And maybe as of recently as, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. But I think when he found out or discovered that Auburn may be open, I think that really piqued his interest because he knew that they were probably could win earlier than Arkansas, and because he knew there was talent there. Chizik was underachieving with very good talent. And I think Malzahn is coming there with my guy Rhett Lashley and showed them that this is what happens when you have a real coach. You know?
Yeah. Well,
and running the offense and running the program better and that kind of thing.
Not to knock the guy, because I really did enjoy visiting with him, and my feelings had already somewhat leveled out, I guess, about Chizik. But when you meet him, you really realize what a good guy he is.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he falls into that group. And, again, it's look, I'm a guy that never coached in college. I don't know what it takes. But you just you got to see the eye test and you got to see the results. And you just you get a feel for if the guy is the right guy or not for the particular setting. I think he's one of those guys. It's a small group that includes Pelini at Nebraska. I think it includes Mullen. We'll see if how that how far he can get it at Mississippi State. Of guys and probably you know Muschamp down at Florida too. Mm-hmm. Guys that are great coordinators who aren't necessarily great head coaches. I always thought Malzahn would be a great head coach when he was at Springdale, and then he moved on and was an offensive coordinator at Arkansas. I said when this guy gets a chance to run the whole program, he's going to do a great job.
Yeah.
And you're seeing that at Auburn. I'm not in any way surprised that he's doing a great job at Auburn.
No. And Chizik is a good coach, too, and I think he is. There are certain guys that are made up to be coordinators, and he's a very, very good recruiter, and they caught lightning in a bottle the year with Cam Newton. Now, I'm not going to say that the only reason they won is because of Cam Newton, because he did coach the team, and I think he deserves some kudos for winning a national title, and I thought he may have been fired a little too early. But I think Malzahn as a whole is probably more suited to be a head coach. I think he's showing that this year. He's surprising a lot of people by what they did, winning an A&M. Was huge. I mean, that was a big feather in their cap to go and do that.
The thing I'll give him too, Nate, is that he played, and there are two schools of thought. There are coaches that say, look, this is what we do, and this is how we're going to do it. Brett Bielema's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys like Malzahn that say, I'm going to coach to my talent.
Yeah.
So you see him utilize what he has. Trey Mason may be the best back in the league. He's one of the top guys for sure. And they are featuring him in that offense. He's their best player offensively. Four touchdowns against Arkansas, you saw it. He still spreads everybody out, but they're running the ball a ton. They threw the ball nine times against Arkansas. I promise you, when he gets a high-profile, talented quarterback and a little better receiver base in there, they'll probably throw the ball 25 or 30 times a game.
Well, he's smart, and I think that offense is very, very good. I think when they had McFadden, and I don't know who always was in charge of that. That's up for debate,
right.
I think. He and Nutt struggled for power, but he said, hey, you know, we're not going to just throw the ball all the time. We've got Darren McFadden. We understand that we can use him in the confines of the offense. At Springdale, first years that he was there, they didn't have a great quarterback, and they ran the ball a lot, and then they got Mitch Mustaine. So he's smart. He knows how to use his personnel in there. He's showing that this year, and I think both he and Rhett Lashley, I think people around the country are looking at them and giving them a lot of respect.
There's a misconception about his offense, about the number of times they throw it. And Mustaine got all the headlines, and appropriately so, and he did have a great receiver in Damian Williams. He had a very talented tight end that ended up at Arkansas and Cleveland. But they had Clint Scales ran the ball a bunch, too, on that Springdale team.
Yes.
And he ended up at UCA, so I got a chance to see him in person as well.
Absolutely.
They do run the ball predominantly. It may only be, 55% in some cases, depending on what kind of – This year, though, he's gone heavy run, even heavier run than usual because of the talent around him. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I want to mention something. I've heard talk on your show, and as well as the show the afternoon, about the Malzahn thing. In fact, he was from A-State, and they really didn't show a lot of interest. But I just want to remind you and your listeners, too, as well, but here just a few weeks ago, they hired an assistant athletic director from Henderson. So they do look at small schools, and they do get out there, and they try to pull in who they consider the best person. I just wanted to mention that Kyle Gober. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Kale Gober.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Mark. While Kale is, I think, an incredible individual and an unbelievable talent, and he's a good friend too, it's a little different situation hiring a guy who is working as a fundraiser and administrative guy versus your head coach. And again, you also have the whole political thing with the governor being an ASU guy. And them not wanting to, steal from A-State. I mean, there was a unique setting there, and there may have been nothing to that.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it was the right situation, unfortunately.
Sometimes there's certain times where it's just not the right time. Even though Malzahn would have been a good fit there, it's just maybe not the right time because he was across the state. I think that did go into Jeff Long's thinking that, hey, This may not be the right time. If we can find somebody that's as good or better than him, then we need to go that route.
Yeah.
And he found a guy who's won Big Ten championships and I think can win at Arkansas.
Will win. I think most people understand this, but I'm going to reiterate it to those who don't seem to get this. The eight wins at Auburn don't transfer to Arkansas if Gus Malzahn's the head coach.
Yeah.
He ain't winning eight games at Arkansas this year. Neither is Nick Saban. Neither is if they resurrected Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
You're not winning eight games at Arkansas this year, no matter who the head coach is.
Exactly.
So don't say, oh, he's doing great at Auburn. I'm sure he could have done that at Arkansas this year. Nobody believes that. That's not realistic.
Two situations are apples and oranges, and I don't know that everybody could have went to Auburn and won eight games, either anybody else or other people, because Gus knows the personnel. He walked into that situation knowing most of the players on that offense, knowing that Kyle Frazier probably isn't suited to play there, and you know, it's kind of moved him to defense and knew what he had. And another coach would have taken some time to probably get the learning curve. It was a tailor-made situation for Malzahn.
If Paul Bear Bryant was the head coach, Vince Lombardi was the offensive coordinator, and Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator, you're not winning eight games this year.
No.
Danny.
Hey, how y'all? It was kind of an ego thing with Houston Nutt and Chizik, too, maybe, you reckon? Because why they...
With Malzahn, you mean?
Wanted to get rid of Gus because he was getting quite a bit of credit. And Chizik, you know, I always heard he was the cure for insomnia. But he did fire Gus, right?
They parted ways, yeah. And I don't know. I think he felt pressure to go to more of a traditional style. I think a lot of that came from the fan base. And I think if he would have ignored the fan base and let Gus do what he wanted to do and been able to keep him on campus, I think it probably would have worked out fine. I will say this. Gus had nothing but glowing things to say about Chizik. Chizik has nothing but good things to say about Gus. They still have a good relationship. So clearly it was not a, hey, I don't think you can do the job, I'm firing you situation. I think he was under a lot of pressure to be more like Alabama. Those Auburn fans are saying, well, wait a minute. But what kills me is it's like, wait a minute, you just won a title a couple years ago. What are you bent out of shape about? You really want to get rid of Gus?
Exactly.
You really want something different? You really want that traditional pro-style offense? You can win with this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Gus was, Tizzy was feeling pressure. Maybe that's why he fired Gus. All right, thanks.
That's all a guesswork, but I do know that their relationship is still good.
Well, I don't know if he fired him. I think he... Malzahn left.
Well, the other thing is he had an opportunity to run his own program.
Yeah.
So he did leave for that, too, and that was part of it.
I mean, I don't know if he may have said, hey, next year if we don't produce, you're going to get fired. That may have happened.
The other thing was the money. I mean, the money was less, and some people were like, wait a minute, he's taking less money to go to Arkansas State, or it may have been end up being close. I don't know exactly what the final numbers were, but the bottom line was it was a little unique. But I think he wanted to run his own program,
he did.
You know what? It's turned out great for him. Because a lot of guys will go to a Sun Belt, and they can't get to a major FBS program ever. You see, I mean, there's some good coaches. Look
at Petrino this year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's a unique deal because he's going down. But I'm talking about guys like Hudspeth, guys like who's the coach at Louisiana? Todd Berry.
Todd Berry, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are guys that, you know, definitely great coaches. I mean, I look at a guy like Conk. I still can't believe nobody snatched him up.
Yeah, I've said that for years. Yeah.
But again, you see guys that are very talented that have a hard time. Sometimes you go to a place and it's hard to move up to the next level, whether it's, you know, being an FCS school trying to go to an FBS school or an FBS, you know, I know people don't like this term, but mid-major trying to get into the, you know, like an SEC or a Pac-12 school. So,
well, my point on Petrino was that, you know, it's harder to win there than you think. Like Malzahn made that look easy, how well they did at Arkansas State. Western Kentucky was supposed to be stacked. He was supposed to go in there and win a bunch of games and then be, a candidate to take over at any big job that was open, maybe even Texas, and that hasn't worked out that way.
Well, I will say this. While there's some Arkansas State fans who are disappointed in Gus and the way that he left and the time that he left and Freeze leaving so quickly as well, one guy that should not be disappointed in that is Brian Harsin.
Yeah.
On this USA Today list, Brian Harsin is 79th at 724,000, almost 725. In compensation with 245,000 in bonuses available to him. Just for comparison's sake, Western Kentucky by Petrino, 855.6, and he's only a few spots ahead of him, but there's a pretty good gap, over $125,000 gap there. Actually, $131,000 in between those two, and they're only a few spots apart in the big scheme of things, which just shows you how much more money is in there. Does anybody believe
Flood from Rutgers not too far ahead of them?
Yeah, either. 74. But here's one that kills me. Does anybody think that Brian Kelly is making $1.088 million with no max bonus?
Wow.
This is nonsense.
Yeah.
This USA Today list is some of it's legitimate and some of it's kind of interesting. But the fact that they're including the bonus or they're including the buyout money for some of these guys like Bielema makes it a little bit ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Butch Jones buyout money included in his deal too. So it's a little silly. Plus, there's no way. In Hades, the Brian Kelly's only making a little over $1 million in Notre Dame. What's up, Ace?
Yeah, just kind of echoing what you guys said a minute ago. You kind of stole my thunder, but Lou Holtz once said, you know what, I've been a coach with good players, and I've been a coach when they wasn't so good, and I'm a lot better coach when I got good players.
X and O, Mo, and, what is it, Jimmy's
and
Joe's?
I'm a Bielema fan, and we're going to be amazed at how much better a coach he's going to be in a couple, 3 years.
Yeah, well, Ace, appreciate the call. And I thought, yeah, Key Jackson had a great line earlier. Said 2 years from now, people are going to say, well, that's not the same offense they were running 2 years ago. Like, yeah, it was. They just got a lot better guys running.
Yeah, that was a good point.
Makes a little different.
No doubt.
Makes it look a lot better, for sure.